Blog Talk Radio.
My voice has come back, maybe not 100%, but it has come back, and I am feeling great. So I just praise God, and I'm so thankful that I just pressed through and that God's grace has been sufficient, that I have spoken his word over my situation, and today I'm speaking clearly. Amen. So again, welcome into the studio on tonight. I am excited. The Lord has a word. Somebody is going to get something tonight. I have a question to ask. When you oftentimes, when you get up and go to church in the morning, I mean on Sunday morning, do you just get up and you get dressed and you go to church? And you just go to church and you find yourself being, you find it being mundane, that you find yourself doing this on a regular basis every Sunday, the same time. You get up, you do the same thing, and you just go. And then when you, you know, while you're there, you get a good feeling, you stick to it, you're excited, and then you leave from there and you can't even remember what the word was about. When you leave from there, you go back to the same life issues. You go back to the same disappointments, the same thing, you know. And so I will challenge you on tonight. When you're going to get a word from God, go to get a word from God. Go with great expectations, whether it's going to church or if you're listening to church on TV, or you're calling into shows like Processing the Pain and so many other great shows that's out there that's speaking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go with expectation. Walk in there and listen attentively. Focus attend. And ask God before you go, because I'm going to tell you something. If you're going places and you're not getting fed, or you're going places and you're listening to something that's not changing, that's not making a better, a difference in your life, then guess what? You may just be going. Did God tell you to go? Because if God doesn't tell you to go, then you may not get nothing when you get there, at least nothing that you want, nothing that's significant. So I would say to you, when you go places like this or you listen to shows, you listen to broadcasts, ask God, Lord, what do you have for me this evening? What do you have for me this morning, God? What is it that you need your child to know? What do I need to walk away? If I'm going to give the next 30 minutes, an hour of my life, time is the one thing that you can't get back. And if you are wasting your time, then you're wasting something precious, that you, a commodity that you'll never get back. So I'm saying, if you're going to give an hour of your life to anything, give it with expectation that when I walk away from here, I need to know what God is telling me. I need to have a clear understanding. I need to know, how do I execute what was given to me? Amen? So again, I am excited about tonight. If you're listening in, I'm telling you, I've been praying. You're not here just because. You are here because the Lord has put it on your heart to be here, because He has a word. Not Coach D, but He has a word for you. Amen, and I'm excited. So we're going to get started as people continue to come into the studio. I just want to welcome you. Find a good seat. Find a good seat. Get you something to drink, you know, coffee, a soda, something, some water. Get you a note pad and a pencil, and let's get into this, because I'm excited. Woo, I'm so excited. And I know that no one here under the sound of my voice, in the name of Jesus, not Coach D, but the Spirit of God, is going to leave here empty. Everyone that's here on tonight will leave out of here with hope. You will be filled, and prayerfully your joy will be refilled. Many of us is walking around here joyless. Amen. So tonight I want you to be full. I want you to get what you need to take you to the next level that God has for you. Amen. So tonight's topic is unmasking the authentic you. Unmasking the authentic you. Are you who they say you are, Sarai, my princess? Or are you who God called you to be, Sarah, mother of nations? Now, why did I use Sarah? There's many names, and we're going to go through that tonight. But God oftentimes would change names. He would change people's names. And it was important because, see, people don't realize that names are important. Names are important. And during biblical days, names meant something. When parents named their children, it had a meaning. If the mother was suffering through birth, she would name the child something that reflected that suffering. If the mother was sad or in her old age, she would name the child something that reflects her current situation or her life pain or her life joys. Amen. We know in the Word of God that it says in Proverbs that a name is to be is better than rubies, you know, than jewels, and I'm paraphrasing, amen. But it's names are important, and so we need to get to the authentic us. We need to find out who we really are. We need to unmask because we've been living in the mask, and a lot of us from the time we was born and our parents named us, we have been in a mask because depending on where our parents' mindsets were at the time they named us, probably dictated our life. The unknowns to them out of ignorance, but dictate the path of our life. And so a lot of us came out the womb with a mask on, amen? And we've been walking around in this mask, and we've been what our parents called us, and we've been what the world called us, and we've been what our bad behavior and our reputation began to call us. We picked up all these names along the way. You know, I often say, and people that know me well and know me personally know, yes, my name is Denise. But my family don't call me Denise. My family call me Niecy. And I will guarantee you that there is a different personality between Denise and Niecy, and people know it who know me. They know Niecy behaves and acts a certain way, and Denise is another person. And so Niecy is who was determined. That name Niecy was who they called me. That name Niecy came with a reputation. It came with a bad attitude, or maybe it came with somebody that was fun and exciting and wild. It came with it put a stigma. Amen? It put a stigma. But it wasn't who God called me to be. You know, and all of us, God created. And when he created us, he created us in our authentic self. So a lot of us are walking around and we say this term, keep it real, keep it 100. We hear that all the time. The young people are saying it, the old people are saying it, everybody's talking about keep it 100. But what if I was to tell you tonight that none of us was keeping it 100? None of us were keeping it 100 because we've been conditioned to what the world has called us. And we have not been conditioned to who God says we are. So tonight, I'm going to challenge you to be open to a name change. I'm going to challenge you to be open to a name change. First of all, I'm using words, and I don't like to just use words because I don't want to make an assumption that because I use a specific word that my listening audience know what I mean. So let's see what authentic means. Let's break that down. Authentic. Authentic means, or it could be best defined as not false or copied. Genuine, real, 100. It could be authentic, antique, having an origin supported by unquestionable evidence. Authenticated, verified, qualified, real or genuine, not copied. True and accurate, made to be or look just like an original. Tonight, I want you to know you are original. You are original that was created by God from the foundation of the earth, and he had plans for you. He had plans for you, and you had to go through the process. You had to be born into sin, and once you became born into sin, you got a name. And I'm going to go back a little bit. I'm going to go in the Old Testament because I really want you to get this here. I'm going to take you back, and I'm going to tell you why it's important that you know your name. And I'm going to tell you why the enemy gives us names, why the enemy puts names upon us, and why we struggle so much in life. Back in Daniel and in Jeremiah, just to name a few, there was a king called Nebuchadnezzar. And he was the king of Babylon, and somewhere about 600 B.C. or so, he literally came in and he conquered Judah, and he destroyed Jerusalem. And when he did that, he took slaves back with him. And we all know the story when I get in further, because we all know the story of Daniel. We all know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the four Hebrew boys. We've heard the story about the fiery furnace. We heard the story about Daniel being in the lion's den. We heard all these stories. And I found it as I began to study for tonight's topic, I found it amazing, because I'm sure I've read this before. I'm sure many of you have read this before. But I did not even truly understand that Nebuchadnezzar changed their name, that their original, the original name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that wasn't their original name. Their original names was, and I probably mess up the pronunciation of these names, but you'll get my point. Their, Shadrach's original name was Hananiah, and Meshach was Mishael, and Abednego, his original name was Azariah. So that was their original name given by birth. But when they came into bondage under the ruling of Nebuchadnezzar, he changed their name. Why did he change their names? Why was that significant that he felt like he had to change their names? He changed Daniel's name to Belshazzar. And so he did this because in him changing their names, he wanted to encourage them to forget about the God that they served. He didn't want them to remember their traditions. He didn't want them to remember their homeland. This story sounds a little familiar to me, because we have heard stories about slavery and how the Africans were brought over to America, and they began to give them American names. They began to give them names. They took away their original birth names that represented something, you know, because, again, in that culture, when you're talking about the continent of Africa, and a lot of this stuff was going on in the biblical days, was going on in the in that continent. But back in those days, names were important. You gave a lot of consideration to what you were naming your child. And so if I was named Vapaji, if I was named Vapaji, Swahili Vapaji meant talent. So then I get on this ship and I come across the water, and now all of a sudden I get into a foreign land, a land I know nothing about, and my name get changed to Susan. Amen? That's the way the Hebrew boys work. They go into this foreign land, this foreign environment by this king that's not serving their God, hallelujah. And the king began to change their names in hope that he could steal their birthright, in hope that he could change their mind, in hopes that he could break their spirits, hallelujah. And those boys weren't breaking, hallelujah, because they knew who they were. They knew who they were, and they weren't going to allow some lousy king like Nebuchadnezzar to change who they were. It was instilled in them. It was within them. And tonight I'm asking you, do you know who you are? Do you know who God called you to be? Do you know your name? Are you hiding behind a mask? Do you think that because you did drugs, or because you was a prostitute, or because you've been married a dozen times, or because you can't keep a job, do you think that's your authentic self? It's not your authentic self, and it's not who God created you to be. But, again, you were birthed into this foreign land. If you were a kingdom citizen, you were birthed into this foreign land, and you were given a name without consideration of what that name was going to be. What path was that name going to present for you? Some people, you got people around here, glory to God, Holy Spirit. You got people around here that's naming their kids Tequila and Margarita and Hennessy and Bacardi. Why on earth would you want to put that kind of tag on your child? What life are you providing for them? What spirits are they going to have to fight? What things are they going to have to climb? What challenges, what pits are they going to have to climb through just because you put a name on them? Oh, by God, I would have you to know tonight that a name is important. And when you begin to name your children and your grandchildren, you need to pray and you need to know what you are naming them, that you're determining how rough their path is going to be or how easy or what favor they're going to have by the Lord. And I know many of us, a lot of us started having kids before we even knew about the Lord or before we even committed our lives back to the Lord. A lot of us wasn't redeemed when we began to put names on our children. And that's okay, because, again, God can change our names. Amen? In order to walk in our authentic self, we have to know who God created us to be, not who the world called us to be. Abram's parents named him, and Jacob's parents named him. Saul and Simon's parents named them. The community called Jesus the carpenter's son. He's just the carpenter's son. And had he not truly knew who he was, he would have begun to behave and act and respond to the name, he's just a carpenter's son. How many of us, again, are being defeated in life by our own birth name or by the reputation of our worldly behavior? We're walking around calling our young ladies B's and H's. That's a name that we're tagging them with. And surely, maybe, perhaps we're tagging them with the name because their behavior dictated it. But is that truly their name? And if I didn't want her to be a whore, then what name would I really need to call her? Would I call her with negative, cancel out negative? Does darkness cancel out darkness? By George, no. It's only light that could cancel out darkness. So if I wanted my child to be smart, am I going to walk around and call him a dummy? Am I going to walk around and call him stupid? No, if I want my child to be smart, I'm going to let them know that you are smart. And when I begin to give positive affirmations of who they are, guess what? They're going to begin to act like what I'm calling them. How many of us in the 60s, I know I got a generation on this phone. I know there are some people on this phone that's my age, and I know some people could relate to this, glory to God. Because it's just the way it was. It was the way the world was. It was the way our culture was. It was the way our community was. But I remember growing up as a young child in the informative years, the 0 to 7. It wasn't uncommon for your mama to tell you that you getting on her nerves. It wasn't uncommon for your mama to call you a butthole, and I'm saying it nicely. It wasn't uncommon when you were a kid begging for everything that she's eating for her to say she can't have nothing. You crumb snatchers. And so those were common languages, and we thought they were languages of love, but they began to give us a name. I heard a comedian say many years ago, and I can't remember the comedian, that he thought his name was J.A. You know what J.A. is, because his mama called him that so much that that's what he thought his name was. And as many of us that's walking around here defeated in life because we think that we are what somebody has called us. If we were told often that we would never amount to nothing, if we were told often that we wouldn't be nothing, if we were told often that we will never succeed, if we were told often that if we were getting told this negativity, some of y'all are running around here wondering why. Everybody might not have the strength to say, you know what, I'm going to be somebody. I don't care what such and such said. I don't care what such and such called me. I'm going to be somebody. And that inner strength caused them to be somebody. They fought. Everybody didn't have that fight in them. So many have fallen by the wayside. Many have gotten caught up on drugs. Many have gotten caught up in negative lifestyles. Because they didn't have that fight. Well, I want to tell you tonight, you have an advocate that's fighting on your behalf. But in order for you to have him fighting on your behalf, you got to accept and receive and know that he is who he say he is. Who do he say that he is? He said, I am, hallelujah. I am the one who created you from the foundation of the earth. I am the one who originally named you. And tonight, I am is asking us to take off these masks and walk into our authentic self. Amen. How do you know who you are? How do you know who you are? First of all, you got to be redeemed. Something that was once in place, taken out of place, and put back in. You got to get put back in your right place. How do I do that, Coach D? You do that by acknowledging. You do that by accepting, confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart that Jesus is Lord, that he is the Son of God who created you. That's how you, that's the first step. That is, you're going through an act of repenting and accepting in order to, and accepting the gift of salvation. Then you begin to understand, okay, now who am I? Now you're, because you said that, you have to believe that the word, the Bible is the word of God. You can't get twisted up and turned up and what the world is saying, because the enemy's whole job is confusion. And God said he's not of confusion. So the enemy's going to try to confuse you by telling you men wrote this Bible. This is translated wrong. That ain't what it really means. And you know what? And men have you, if you don't know who you are, men have you confused. But if you start reading the word of God, what you want, then you will realize and you will understand is this. That the Bible is nothing but a book with letters. It means absolutely nothing without the Spirit of God inside you, because it's the Spirit of God inside you that activates those words, and those words become life. Because the Word of God says that the letter, just the words alone, by themselves, unto themselves, kill it. But it's the Spirit that gives life. So when the world is telling you that the Bible is some white man's religion, or the Bible is contradictory, or there's missing people, all this stuff the world want to tell you, is because they don't have the Spirit of God inside of you there, and they're telling you about the letter. But when you have the Spirit of God in you, you get revelation knowledge of what his word says. Amen? You get revelation knowledge of what his word says. So when I read and it tells me I can do all things through Christ, I don't just see the C-A-N, can do. I don't see the letter. I see the Spirit, because now I know that Christ is inside of me, and I could do it because he said I could do it. Amen? I'm going to tell you something. I want you to imagine with me, if you will. I'm going to say a word. Now, when I say the word, I want you to be true to your own self, because now we're talking to our authentic self. So if I say a word to you, I want you to tell yourself what you see. Table. And I'm going to be silent for a minute because I want you to really think about that. Come on now. You chose to be here, so I want you to be here with me. But I want you to just play in this sandbox a little bit. I guarantee you when you walk away from here tonight, you're going to walk away with something. Because you said tonight when you were sitting that you're coming with great expectations. So I'm going to say the word again to you. I want you to hear the word and tell me what's the first vision you get. What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Table. Was it brown? Was it round? Was it square? Was it short? Was it tall? Did it have plates on it? Did it have food on it? What did your table look like? I guarantee if I was able to open up the lines and get people to really tell me something, most of you, I would say most of you, if you were being true to yourself and if you were really engaging in what I was asking you to do, you did not see letters. You did not see T-A-B-L-E, but you seen a picture. You seen the spirit of the word that I said. And that's what God wants us to do. That's what he wants us to do when we get into his word. That's what he wants us to do when we're trying to figure out who he called us to be. He don't want us to just be walking around like robots and zombies and not getting it. He wants us to see the spirit of what he's trying to tell us through the mind of God, which is the word of God, which is in the Bible. Amen? So he's saying to us that we need to know who we are, like the Hebrew boys. They knew who they were, and it didn't matter that Nebuchadnezzar changed their name or tried to change their name. That was just a letter, but he couldn't change who they were. and what they believed and who their God was. Who do God say you are? God said, you're a child of God. Galatians 3:26 says you're a child of God. Now, I hope you guys are writing this down. I'm going to go through this quick. I'm not going to go read scriptures. I'm just going to go through it quick. But you may want to jot some of these things down. Why, Coach D? I'd be okay to ask why. Why, Coach D? Why do you want me to jot this stuff down? I want you to jot this stuff down because when you doubt who you are, and when you start going back to who the world called you, and when you start going back to the world calling you a crackhead, then I need you to go back to these scriptures and remind yourself of who God said you were. When you go out to the world and the world said you're a failure, then I need you to go back to these scriptures and see who God said you are. When you go back to the world and the world said you're an ex-con and you'll never be able to get a job, then I want you to go back to what God said you are. Hallelujah. Because God said you somebody. You are a child of God, according to Galatians 3:26. You are Jesus' friend, according to John 15:15. I am a whole new person with a whole new life, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. I am a place where God's Spirit lives. He lives in me, according to 1 Corinthians 6:19. Hallelujah. I am God's incredible work of art, according to Ephesians 2:10. I am totally and completely forgiven, according to 1 John 1:9. I am created in God's likeness, according to Ephesians 4:24. I am spiritually alive, according to Ephesians 2:5. Amen. I am a citizen of heaven. Meaning, I am my authentic self is a citizen of heaven, according to Philippians 3:20. I am God's messenger to the world, according to Acts 1:8. I am God's disciple maker, according to Matthew 28:19. Woo! I am the salt, not the pepper, but I am the salt of the earth, according to Matthew 5:13. I am the light of the world, according to Matthew 5:14. And guess what? I am greatly loved, according to Romans 5:8. This is just a few things of who we are. And when we know who we are, we'll begin to walk in who we are. And when we begin to walk in who we are, it ain't nothing that the world could call us. It ain't nothing that the world could say to us. And I don't care, the world could be your family if they not... If they not lined up according, vertically aligned up, and if they haven't stepped into their authentic self, don't let them cause you to put a mask back on yourself. Keep that mask off. Be your authentic self. Be who God called you to be and not who anybody else called you to be. Hallelujah. Too many of us been walking around for too long being what the world say we are. But who does God say you are? Do you know who God say you are? You can't know that unless you spend the time with him. He wants you to be encouraged today. He's called you to be somebody. He's called you to be somebody. And he's called you to separate yourself from the world. If the world is keep telling you that you're somebody that you're not, then you need to separate yourself from the world. But don't let the world keep putting heavy titles on you. Don't let the world keep cursing you with their words, because words do give death or life. Don't let the world keep giving you words of death, but get into the word and get life. Be renewed, invigorated, be strong. Know who you are. Walk in your birthright. Walk in your birthright. Coach D, what does that mean, birthright? Your confidence, your courage, your hope, your belief, your hope, your trust in God as your source. Those are your birthright. Those are things that was authentically you. Those are the things that God placed in you. And then somewhere along the way, once you hit this earth, this foreign land, you begin to lose your birthright. I'm scared. I'm not as cute as her. My hair is not as long. My lips is not as small. My breath is not as big. My stomach is not as flat. We start comparing. And we start losing our birthright. Now I don't have no confidence because everybody keep telling me I got a big forehead, so I don't have no confidence now. Oh, man, I want to be a singer. I want to sing for the Lord. You can't sing. Now, no more confidence. I got low self-esteem. I don't believe in myself. And because I don't believe in myself, I don't believe in much else. I don't trust nobody. I don't trust nobody. I don't care. I got trust issues. My hope is gone. What happened when a man's hope is gone? Yep, you got it right. A hopeless man is dangerous. A hopeless man will walk into a school and shoot everybody up. A hopeless man will walk into a post office and shoot everybody up. A hopeless man will walk into somewhere and leave a bomb. That's hopelessness, and that's dangerous. We know most of us see it on the news every day, and if we don't see it on the news every day, guess what we see? We hear about women, or women killing their husbands or killing their boyfriends because he didn't want to be with them no more. She was hopeless. And you hear people that want to call themselves hopeless romantic. I mean, I get the point. So we better be careful about what we call ourselves. I don't want to be a hopeless romantic. Let me just be romantic. I don't want to be hopeless about it. I don't want nothing or no one to make me hopeless. Amen. Amen. Be encouraged on tonight. God has called you to be somebody. He's given you a foundation. Your name, your not necessarily your birth name, but your name, who he calls you. It's the foundation. It's your identity. Your identity is built around this foundation. It's important. It tells things about you. It tells things about you. You know, when you know who you are and who God's called you to be, you begin to act a certain way. And that begins to tell the world something. You know, when you're acting in your authentic self, you might start hearing people say stuff like, "Are you a Christian? Are you a believer? Wow, I could see the glow on you." You may not have to say nothing because your actions and because you're working, you're walking in your birthright. You're walking in confidence, godly confidence. I'm not talking about what the world gives. You're walking in godly courage and godly hope and godly trust and godly belief. You're walking with your head up because you're a child of the King. You're heir to the throne, and you're walking with confidence. Your words are not the same words. You're speaking hope to people. You're speaking life to people. You're encouraging people. You don't have to put nobody down. You don't have to backbite and gossip because you know who you are. And because you're so confident about the family that you're in and who you are, guess what you start doing? You want other people to experience this same joy, this same confidence. So you start telling them about your family, about the kingdom you're from. You start trying to talk them into getting a visa so that they could live in the same kingdom you live in, amen, so that they could be adopted by your daddy. I want people to be adopted by my daddy, my father, my heavenly father. I want people to be adopted. I want people to know who they are, to know their true, authentic self. I want them to walk in the fullness of who God's called them to be. I want them to know who they are. And I know I began to speak fast, and I know I shout out scriptures, and some of you guys may have not gotten those scriptures. But I will definitely redo the scriptures. I will definitely post them on our Processing the Pain page. I will make sure I put those there so that you could get them. They're a great start. They're a great start to have around. They're a reminder of who God said you are. Amen? It's a reminder. And I'm going to take some time. One of the things I want to do, two things before we end the show on tonight. The first thing I want to do is, if there is anybody listening in to tonight's show who does not know Jesus, who has not surrendered themselves to the Lord, I want you to dial one on your dial pad. I want you to dial one on your dial pad. And you don't have to say your name. You don't have to say who you are. I just want to say a prayer with you. If there's anybody listening in on tonight, now if you're listening in through the internet, you would have to call into the studio. But because I can't see if I have anybody through the internet, if you got your hand raised, your virtual hand. When you're in the studio, your virtual hand becomes that one on your dial pad, and that lets me know. It don't have to let nobody else know. Nobody else could see nothing. Nobody else don't know who you are. Your name don't show up in the studio. The only thing that shows up in the studio is phone numbers, and it's a lot of them, and I don't go through the phone numbers. All I see is the one. All I see is the one, hallelujah. If you're struggling, all I see is the one. Don't leave here tonight not knowing who you are. And you can't know who you are if you have not been born into the kingdom. Remember what I said? Redemption is something that was once in place, taken out of place, and put back into place. Redemption is, I once was in the spiritual realm with my Father. I was taken out, born into sin, and then when we give our lives back to the Lord, then we are put back in our rightful place, our rightful position as his children, amen? And I don't want anybody to miss that opportunity. I want everybody to be able to walk in their birthrights and walk in the confidence of knowing who God has called you to be. I want you to be like Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah. I want you to be like them. Most of us, anytime we tell that story, we always use Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You see what I'm talking about? Because we've been conditioned to believe that that's their name. And if you don't read for yourself to know the word of God for yourself, you would think that that was their name, because that's why you're calling them. Why would you call somebody a name that's not theirs? Why would we call them that? So we want to be like the three Hebrew boys that though their names were forced to be changed, their heart didn't change. They knew who they were. They knew who God called them to be. Don't let nobody change your name. Yes, Denise is my given birth name, but who I am is much bigger than Denise. Who I am is much bigger than Denise. Some of you guys, who you are is much bigger than the name that you was given at birth. And if you were lucky, or if you were, I don't want to say lucky, but if you were blessed, then you had parents that were God-fearing. And when they named you, they gave deep consideration to what tag they were putting on you. When I named my son, my youngest son, I prayed. We pray. His parents prayed to get clarity on what his name should be, because I didn't want him. Life, this world is a cold, cruel world. It's hard enough on his own, and I didn't want him to have to walk through this life with a name that did not pave his path, that did not lay a foundation for him to be able to stand on. So I was in a position to pray for his name. You know, Darius was the king during the Meshach. Not the Meshach, but Darius was the king who instituted worship back in the kingdom. He seen that these kids wasn't following. That they weren't going to follow. He seen that Daniel wasn't going to follow. And he unlike Nebuchadnezzar, he was kind of fearful, like, wow. But he was the king who instituted worship back in, because before they were saying, well, they can't worship their gods. And if they worship their gods, they would be sent to the lions and they would be killed. And he instituted that back in. Elijah is a prophet. So when I named my son, I named him the king and the prophet. And I shared with him throughout his whole life, remember what your name is. You're a king and a prophet. You're a king and a prophet. And if he sticks to that, and if he begins to build a vertical relationship, and he begins to confirm his reality demands confirmation. And if he begins to get confirmation that he is a king and a prophet, guess what he's going to act like? A king and a prophet. He got to make sure that he don't let the outside noise of the world begin to give him another name or force him out of his name. That could happen. If you've been born into being a king and a prophet, and that's what you know, my name means I'm a king and a prophet, and I'm walking in that, you don't want the world to begin to tell you something else. You don't want the world to begin to tell you you're lazy, you're trifling, you're dumb. I want to take a minute before we close out. Again, if you're listening into tonight's broadcast, and maybe you already know that you are, you've accepted Jesus Christ, and that's not your thing, but you have a comment or a question about tonight's show. Maybe you might want to share a revelation you may have received on tonight. Please dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a comment or a question for myself or even for our listening audience. Dial 1, we will bring you in, and you can speak your comment or your question. Maybe you got a revelation, and maybe it's important that the revelation you got, you speak it, because maybe somebody else listening in needs to hear your revelation. Then you dial 1 on your dial pad. If not, I just would like to have a prayer before we shut down tonight's show. Again, I always want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in. I pray that something was said.
Okay, we have a caller, area code 513, last 40745. You are live on Processing the Pain.
Kingdom's blessings to you, woman of God. How are you?
Good evening. I'm blessed.
That's wonderful. I just wanted to say to you to be encouraged, because when you bring forth messages such as this, the enemy is going to try to do everything to come against what you said, because he's used to people not being their authentic selves. So I just wanted to say and just encourage you to stay on the path that you're on, because I know you personally and I see the growth in you. I don't say much all the time, but I wanted to say it and give you flowers on your show that you are doing an awesome job bringing forth the word of God and making it simple for everyone to understand. And I appreciate you for allowing God to use you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, man of God. Thank you. Thank you. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. I tell you, I learn from the messages that he gives me, and this message just has blessed me tremendously, and I'm glad that it's blessed you, and hopefully it's blessed others that are listening in on tonight. You know, sometimes we could get weary in well-doing, and if we're not careful, we'll forget our names. We'll forget who God's called us to be. So I thank you for those words of encouragement, those words of life. I appreciate them. I believe that they have planted seeds that will continue to grow. Amen. And I just want to go ahead and, man of God, I don't know, do you have anything else that you want to say before I begin to pray?
Or, no,
man of God, as a matter of fact, since you're on, since you are on, we did have a couple of people that dialed 1, and so
if you can lead in a prayer of salvation, and then we'll go ahead and begin to close down. But if you don't mind to lead in a prayer of salvation, it'd be greatly appreciated.
Father God, in the name of your Son Jesus, God, thank you for this time and this space and this opportunity to come before you, Father God. God, we ask that you forgive us for every sin that we may have committed, that we knowingly or unknowingly have done. Father God, we ask that you forgive us for anybody that we have wronged and not even known it by what we said or what we did. Father God, we ask for your forgiveness right now in the name of your Son Jesus. Father God, we ask that people that have heard this broadcast and people that will hear this broadcast, Father God, we pray that their lives have changed and that they realize that their name is not what other people call them, but it's what you have called them from the foundations of the earth. Father God, we thank you that Jeremiah 1 verse 5 resonates in our spirit, for you knew us in the womb, Father God, and we thank you because you created us in your likeness and in your image, Father God, and you gave us everything that we needed to be who we were supposed to be, Father God. And we ask right now, God, that you give people the courage to come back to who they truly are, Father God, not hide behind a name or title, Father God, but just to be their authentic selves, oh God. We pray that their lights begin to shine more. Father God, we pray that the darkness that people are feeling, Father God, we pray that the light of the Holy Spirit will come inside of them, Father God, and illuminate them to show them who they really are and not be beaten down by the words of so many people, by the words of themselves, Father God. Give them a genuine courage on the inside to be them and be themselves, Father God, for they are fearfully and wonderfully made by your hand. Father God, we just thank you for this woman of God and her ministry, Father God. And we ask that you continue to enlarge her territory, stretch her borders, Father God, to reach more and more people, Father God, through her words of wisdom, Father God. We pray that you just keep pouring words down inside of her, God. Keep elevating her in your time frame and in your will, Father God. Let not no man put their hands on her, Father God. But she is your child, God. We thank you and we honor you. We give you glory for all that you have done. Every person under the sound of my voice right now, God, I pray that the release of who they used to be will no longer shackle them for who they are to become. In your Son Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, man of God. Well, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to this episode of Processing the Pain. Oh, it is my heart's desire and it's my great expectation that everyone will leave from here full, knowing your authentic self, knowing who God called you to be. You know, Deuteronomy tells us that he called us to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, blessed coming in and going out. He's called us to be lenders and not borrowers. It's so many promises that God tells us. And he said, if we will only hearken diligently and obey. And the hearken diligently and obey is obeying your authentic self, obeying who he's called you to be. And so I just thank God for giving us that rhema word, because it's God. It's the Holy Spirit. It has nothing to do with Coach D. It's the Holy Spirit. And all Coach D is saying, yes, Lord, I'm willing to be a vessel to be used by you. And so, again, I pray that these words have illuminated in your hearts and in your spirit, that you've been tonight, that you've been transformed by the renewing of your mind. He's given us a rhema word. He's given us a perception, the spirit, not the letter, but the spirit. And so I pray that it's blessed you. This message will be available to listen in on. I will be posting it at various sites for those who may want to share with families or friends, or for those who may want to listen back later when you start getting caught up and the enemy start telling you who you ain't. You can go back to this and be encouraged again, be empowered again, be educated again, so that you could continue to move forward in the things that God's called you to be. Amen. And so, again, I thank each and every one of you for your continual support. Continue to tune in on Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We have couple of holidays coming up, so I definitely will keep everyone posted as we move forward. I know we're coming into the new year, and generally at the new year, I normally take a sabbatical. I do that on purpose to refresh, to restore, to get clear direction from the Lord as which direction he wants me to go in as it pertains to this gift, this platform that he has blessed me with. I don't want to just give you guys poison. I don't want to just continue to, I don't want to give you milk, you know, and for me to be able to give you the meat, the substance that you need, that comes from the Lord. And so sometimes I have to be still, not quit, not give up, but sometimes I need to be still and hear him. But as I come close to that time, I will definitely make sure that I keep everybody aware. Also, if you tune in on we can really change that. We don't change that, Apostle, because we've been doing the third, we do the third Tuesday of the month. And, well, let me just finish like that. But anyway, the third Tuesday of the month, we do He Say, She Say. And for those who are not familiar with He Say, She Say, sometimes we bring on guests. Sometimes it's just a word that's going forth. The purpose for He Say, She Say is not just to have something to do. We did that because we understand that men and women are quite different. Men and women are quite different, and they think different. And a lot of the conflict and a lot of the relationship problems is because we don't think the same. And so the He Say, She Say platform was meant to be able to bring clarity, for to be able to help us understand things from different perspectives. And so we, again, that's going to be on the third Tuesday next month. If you'd like to tune in, that's at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Central time, and 9 p.m. Eastern time. Amen. Again, we love you. I appreciate you. And thank you for tuning in to this episode. Have a blessed night.